First Sunday of the new year. How many of you have New Year's resolutions? Well, it's never late to start one. But we can turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. We'll be reading a few verses of scriptures there, and then we'll be moving on to Matthew chapter 7. Brother Holm, can you get the mic turned down a little bit? So Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse number 31. So the Bible says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles," which is us, "seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Right.
Then over to the book of Matthew chapter 7, next chapter, starting at verse number 21. And it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, it would seem that these two passages have very little to do with each other. However, in the process of our sermon today, I want to show you the connection between these two and how the very impact of one will determine your ultimate destiny. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us today. Anoint my lips of clay, anoint my mind and my heart as we go into your word and as we study to show ourselves approved, O God. Let us know what we are going for, O God. Let us be focused in where we are going. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we thank you for this new year, this new chance to do everything that you want us to do and to reach new heights and new levels. And we give you glory, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So, if you glance back quickly at the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And it's from there that I would like to take my scripture text, and I would like to title the message today, First the Kingdom. First the kingdom. Now, when we hear about the kingdom of God, we hear a lot of different sermons, a lot of different things that they're talked about. We reference the kingdom of heaven. We reference the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of different things that we hear preached and discussed and talked about. But when we actually think, what are we talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God? What is it exactly when we say the kingdom of God? Well, growing up, in hearing all the preaching and even since being in the States, there has seemed to be, for the most part, the majority of preaching focuses around the work of God, which is nothing's wrong with that. But whenever, most of the time when I've heard this passage preached, you know, if you want, you know, God's going to provide for you. He's going to give you clothes. He's going to give you house. He's going to give you everything that you need of. But you need to seek first the kingdom, and by seeking first the kingdom, you do outreach. You teach Bible studies. You show up at church. You do evangelism, you know, some fundraisers. You participate in the work of the kingdom.
Right.
This is what I have heard and what has been preached for majority of the sermons that I have heard on this topic. However, not that those are not important, because I would like to emphasize that those are extremely important. But is that indeed what the kingdom of God is? Because when we look at it, there's two different ways that we know God. We know God for who he is, and we know him because of his actions. So sometimes it's not always easy to fully understand the exact meaning of it. And to look further into what the kingdom of God is, I would like us to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Book of Romans, chapter 14. When you have it, say amen. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, which means it's not physical, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when we think back to our scripture text and it's talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's saying don't seek physical things. Seek righteousness, which is God's holiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the only way you can be in the kingdom of God is by being in the Holy Ghost. The only way you can access the ability for God to provide the bountiful blessings that he's offering to provide is by being in the Holy Ghost. And through this, the kingdom of God will be established, which is righteousness, peace, and joy within the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. So this is exactly what we're talking about. And as we looked at our Lord's prayer in the prayer time today, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When it says thy kingdom come, it's talking about the establishment and the rule of God's presence, of God's power, of the whole atmosphere, the whole earth, as it is in earth, being earth as it is in heaven, the whole atmosphere being under the influence of righteousness, peace, and joy within the Holy Ghost. So when we are seeking and when we are looking for God to provide all of our needs, we don't need to be so focused, as the scripture says, on obtaining the earthly possessions. We need to be focused on getting into the Holy Ghost. Because once we are within the Holy Ghost, all those things will be added. Right. Now, but you say, how does that connect with the Bible studies, the outreach, the all the other things about the work of God? Because if we looking at the two scriptures, the kingdom of God does not mean that. How do they connect? Well, they connect because if you are in the kingdom of God, if you are in the Holy Ghost, if you are fully filled with the Holy Ghost, if you are having a daily prayer life, if you have commitments, if you are having that relationship with God, the rest of it is going to come automatically. So the one is not, the kingdom of God is not the working of the kingdom. But the working of the kingdom is a result of being in the kingdom. So if you have the Holy Ghost, are filled with the Holy Ghost, are consistently in that relationship with God, the outreach, the Bible studies, the church attendance, and everything else will be an automatic repercussion of being in the kingdom of God. So while they may not mean that, it is an automatic response to that. Now, when we enter into the kingdom of God, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a relationship. We're talking about an intimate relationship with God. Right. We're talking about knowing him every day, of talking to him every day, being with him, being around him. When you are in the Holy Ghost, you have constant communications, you will have the mind of God, and you will be, and the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in your life. You will want to do what God wants you to do, which according to Acts 1 and 8 is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's Matthew 28:19. Acts 1 and 8 says you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you to be witnesses. So all that will be the result of your relationship and your commitment to God. Now, our relationship to God, as most of you know, can be very well paralleled to a marriage. and the relationship between a husband and wife, the church or the saint being the bride of Christ. If you are looking at that and saying, okay, I want something from my husband or I want something from my wife, but you never talk to them, you only go to them when you need something, you only have a discussion with them, or you don't ever go out with them, you never have an intimate relationship with them, none of that, you can't expect much from the other person. They're not going to want to give you anything because there is no connection there. There is no point at which they feel like, I want to do this because I love you. No, it's, I have to do certain things because of my obligation. So when we are entering in and looking at the kingdom of God and being in the Holy Ghost and having all these things and all these blessings, and everyone wants to be blessed. I don't think there's one person that says, no, I don't want to be blessed, I want to be cursed. No one wants that. But if you don't have that relationship, if you don't have that intimate working of being in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the very spirit of Jesus. So if you're in the Holy Ghost, that means you are a part and a very good connection with God. And so without that, it would become very hard. Obviously, God wants to give us stuff. He wants to be with us, and he wants to give us blessings. But if we don't have that relationship, if we don't have that connection, if we're not actually putting first the kingdom of God in our lives, but we have other idols. Now, what is an idol? That's also something else. A lot of people talk about an idol. But an idol is not American Idol. Okay? What an idol is anything that we put before God. So what that means is, if I don't pray, but I'll go to the gym and work out, the gym is the idol. If I don't go to church, but I will go and do something else instead. Because church is where we have that connection with God, it helps build that relationship of being in the Holy Ghost. That's an idol. Anything that we put ahead of our relationship or connection with God, regardless of what aspect it is the idol. You can put your own label. It doesn't even have to be sin. An idol does not have to be sin, but it becomes sin when we put it ahead of God. So as we build our relationship, as we build our intimacy with God, when we're putting first the kingdom, just as we put our spouse first, you got to think, when you were first dating them or when you were first married, that feeling, that automatic where you want to do everything. You didn't want to leave their side. You wanted to be always with them, always connected with them. You wanted sometimes to just look into their eyes or just be near them. That is the relationship God is wanting with us through the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And without that relationship, eventually sometimes it becomes hard work because they smell. Or maybe they didn't do something that you like to do. Whatever the situation is, the love wanes. It backs off. And then it becomes work to keep it up. I've been married for 10 years. There's people in here who've been married much longer than that. It takes work to keep the love and every commitment going. But why are we so willing to keep that going in most cases, but don't want to do that when it comes to God? When it's the exact same thing, because we are spiritually married to God. So when we look and want to establish our kingdom, and when it says, going back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Before the kingdom of God can be established on earth, before the realm and reign of God and the Spirit of God can have full precedence within the earth, it must first be within the ambassadors who are representing. and we are the ambassadors of God. It says, let your light so shine. But the light is not actually our own. It's God. So if we don't shine, if we're not in the kingdom ourselves, if we're not in that relationship with God ourselves, the rest of the world is not going to have it established. And also, when it's established in us, His will be done in our lives. But His will can't be done in our lives or in the world without it first being done here. So we are the catalyst. We are the thing. If we want it in throughout the whole world, we must be the initiation and the start of where it goes. It does not start out there with outreach. It doesn't start out there with Bible studies. It doesn't start out there with all the other things, you know, church fundraisers and everything else. It doesn't start there. Because if it's not initiated within yourself, then it's not going to go out there. To look at the parallel in Matthew 7 and 21 through 23, we can turn there real quick. So Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Just a brief recap where people come to God saying, I have done all these things. What are those things that they say? Verse 21 says, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophesy is a fancy word for preaching. And in thy name cast out devils. Miracles. And in thy name did many wondrous works. You can put in a label what you would consider a wondrous work in regards to the kingdom. But is that's an action. That's something that they're doing. That also means that it's not a sinner. Because the Bible says you cannot do something in my name and speak evil of me. Because in the book of Mark, the disciples wanted to shut down a guy for casting out devils. He said they were casting out devils, but they weren't with us, so we told them to stop. Jesus said, don't do that, because you can't do a work in my name and speak evil of me. So at some point, there is at least some connection with God. There's at least some connection, some spiritual connection at some point if you're doing something in God's name. So they must be a believer to some point, or they are a full believer, one or the other. So we're not talking about sinners. But God said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, why would God tell maybe a born-again believer, I never knew you? What is that? What is he talking about? Well, if we look in the original, in the Greek, the word knew in that scripture context means properly to know, especially through personal experience. Some different words would mean a relationship between husband and wife. The intimate relationship between a husband and wife. So what God is saying there, he doesn't say, hey, oh, my name is Brother Mike. Nice to meet you. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying that he never met you before. That's not what it's meaning. He said, I never had an intimate relationship with you. So when we're talking about building the kingdom and putting the kingdom first and everything else is going to come into it and everything else feeds from it, God's saying your ability to put the kingdom first and to be in the kingdom first is directly related to whether or not I know you. And if I don't know you, it doesn't matter what other actions you do. I'm going to tell you to depart from me. Because I never had that relationship with you. So while we are out throughout this year going and doing and making choices that will benefit us and our family for generations to come, we also have to keep in mind that our relationship with God must be the number one priority. It must be the number one thing that we cultivate. because it would be very, very sad for any one of us to go through our entire lives going to church, doing Bible studies, doing outreach, doing everything, building the kingdom of God out there. But we never knew God for ourselves, and we get to heaven and says, no, I don't know you. Go. It'd be very disappointing. So the whole thing is, my whole sermon today is focused around the importance of understanding that the kingdom is a personal thing before it's an outward thing. And that personal thing, if not established, will ultimately end in an area we don't want to be in. So while outreach and all that other stuff and doing the work of the church, cleaning the church, whatever else, is very, very important and is the result of who we should be, and we should do all those things. Right. It does not guarantee a destination in heaven. So many people in many, many churches today think that, well, if I do all these things, if I work and do what I'm supposed to do around the house of God and around the kingdom of God, as far as the physical acts, then I should be good because I'm participating in the kingdom of God. No, because the kingdom of God is for yourself. Your level of intimacy with God is the direct relation as to whether or not we make it to heaven. It's not what we do, it's our relationship. So many people feel that a part of the church through doing things and that they're putting the kingdom of God first. No, they're not. To put the kingdom of God first in your life is to find a place within the presence of God, within the Holy Ghost, that you have that intimate relationship. And not only will it bring blessing into your life, but it'll bring joy, peace, and righteousness, which is another way of describing holiness. So that also means that if we get into the presence of God, holiness is not going to be an issue. Yeah. If we get in there, Bible reading is not going to be an issue. If we get into the presence of God and we get into the realm of God, nothing to do with the church, we're not going to be offended or get upset because we have to follow biblical guidelines if we're in the kingdom of God.
Right.
If we're within the presence, if we have that relationship. Because I've known of a lot of people who are in their relationship with God who've never had to be told to get rid of stuff or never been told not to do stuff. But God, through their relationship, has said, get rid of that. Don't do that. Don't go there. And they've done it because of their relationship. Not only is it important to, in order to obtain God's blessing for you to be in the kingdom, but it is important for your very salvation. If a person is in the place where the kingdom of God is established in their life, then everything else will fall into place.
Right.
So as we consider the choices that we make and the places that we go and the people that we do for our future generations, we also need to consider and understand, where's my own personal walk with God? Where am I? Am I in a close relationship with God? Or is the thing going to happen like what happened with the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, where the apostle Paul, who we all know was in a personal relationship with God, was going around casting out demons and doing these things. And seven sons of Sceva, they were, one thing I found out through my studies, the seven sons of Sceva were actually Levites. They were sons of the priests. They were religious people. They'd gone to church all their life. They walked up to someone possessed of the devil and said, in the name of Paul's God, get out. They said, Paul, we know Jesus, we know, but who are you? They'd gone to church all their life. They were in Judaism. But even the devils didn't know who they were. So it is very important that even though we show up, even though we attend church, even though we do all the things that we're supposed to do, that we do not lack, that we do not pull back and think that that's enough.
Right.
That we actually participate in an active, engaging relationship with God. That every day we hear from God, not only through prayer, but through His Word. Because sometimes you don't always hear God's voice in prayer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't. Prayer is supposed to be a conversation, but sometimes we are so distracted by everything that we have trouble hearing Him. Well, His Word that was written over the course of 1600 years by over 40 different authors tells us what He wants, tells us where to go, tells us how to do different things in different situations. So this year, as we start off, at the end of last year, we talked about the decisions that we make impact the next generation. Well, if we're going to start anywhere at the beginning of this year, if there's any place that we are going to start those choices, start the decisions that will impact the next generation, the first place I would start would be to establish the kingdom of God.
Right.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost within my own self. Before I try to go tell you how to live your life. Before I try to go tell you you need to be saved. Before I try to go tell you not to wear that or not to do this or not to go there. I need to do it first. Because my very salvation will depend on it. Let's bow our heads for a moment. As we end out this service, I want it, as we began the service, I would like it to be a time of prayer. Whether you come up to the front and pray, or whether you pray at your seat. But I want this to be a commitment. Maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you are full of the Holy Ghost and you are doing exactly what you need to do. Then say, God, in this year, I'm going to increase it. I'm going to do more to build my relationship. Maybe we're not doing enough. In this case, I need to do it. Or if you haven't started, I need to start. Whatever point you're at, it doesn't matter at this point. The fact is, we need to make the choice and the decision today to put the kingdom first in our life. To actually do what the Bible talks about to do. And to establish that relationship. So as the music plays, whether you want to come to the front or stay in your seat, I would like to have us spend some time talking with God and start today building that relationship. Because it's supposed to be talking with your husband or wife. It's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be that kind of relationship. We need to be able to share our deepest, darkest secrets and ask God for help. Give Him guidance, then read His Word to find out what we're supposed to do. It's supposed to be an intimate relationship where we know Him. So let's start today. Let's all pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.